testimony, but a few years ago now, maybe it's 2014 or something like that, I was asked to speak at a high school here on the Gold Coast called Hillcrest. And there was a teacher there who I knew, and he was like the oversight of the grade nine, you know, grade nine class coordinator, whatever they call it, year coordinator rather. And he called me up on a Thursday night and said, "Hey Josh, I know it's late notice, but we have a combined meeting tomorrow morning." Did anyone hear me share this? Anyone who's here? Cool, awesome. Well, I think I saw one hand up. I see that hand. And anyway, he said to me, "Could you come in tomorrow and speak to the grade nines? You got 15 minutes." And I'm thinking, yes, but 15 minutes, what am I going to do in 15 minutes? It's like before, you know, talking about these things, talking about the kingdom. You might have noticed there are certain words and scriptures that I emphasize that I'll kind of touch on in a minute. But to fully unpack all of this and talk about it, you know, we could be here all night. So I'm trying to cram as much in. And I told someone before, like Paul said, you know, if I'm in my right mind, it's for your sake. But otherwise, man, I'm off with Jesus. That's kind of how I was in that first session, how I started. I'm like, man, I've got to hit some points here, hit some targets. And then, you know, we're going to get to the money. But anyway, yeah, so I said, yeah, I'll come in and I'll speak to them. And so I got off the phone, I'm like, Jesus, help, 15 minutes, what can I do? So I thought, you know, I'll share my testimony, make it real short, 5 minutes, and then I'll pray for the kids another 10 minutes, something like that. And so anyway, I go to the school the next day, and I come in. I've never been to the school before, and knew a couple of teachers there, but I came in, and they gave me the mic and introduced me, and here's your 15 minutes, your time starts now. And it's like, oh my gosh, the pressure. But this is the thing, is that I shared my testimony. And at the end of it, I just said, you know, I didn't have any words of knowledge. It wasn't any, you know, kind of amazing, you know, prophetic word or anything like that. I just said, does anyone in here have pain in their body? I want to pray for you. And the whole time these, I think it was maybe 100 or so grade nines, I'm sharing my testimony and they're sitting there like, yeah, whatever, dude, when does the bell ring? I want to go to the next class. This is boring. And I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about signs and wonders. And they're looking at me like, whatever, as if. And so I said, so who here has pain in your body right now? Because I want to pray for you. And no one put their hand up. I'm like, come on. I knew enough to know in the spirit that someone in this room right now has pain in their body. That's what I said. Who is that? Put your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. And so this one girl sort of sheepishly puts her hand up. And so I stretch out my hand and I just pray. In the name of Jesus, she had a problem with her knee. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, knee be healed right now, whatever it was. Did you realize that it's not about what you say when you pray? Did you realize that it actually has nothing to do with you at all? We'll get to that in a second. Anyway, so I prayed and I said, now check out your knee. And she moves it and then she giggled and said, it still hurts. And everyone laughed. Everyone laughed. Now, as soon as I said that, did you put yourself in that situation? How would you feel? And now I want to say, it doesn't matter what you feel. How would you feel? Well, you might feel self-conscious. So you might be like, oh, okay, well, thanks for having me. See you guys. And then run out the door, get in your car and drive away. Faith has nothing to do with feelings. I said, stay right there. I'm coming up to you. I don't even think I had a blue card or anything at that point in time. I'm like, I'm just coming up. I'm going to pray for this girl. And so I got a friend to put her hand on her knee and I prayed. So there you go. It's all good, Nate. Don't worry, mate. There's teachers there, you know. And so anyway, so I just, whatever, prayed again. And now I said, now check your knee. And she moved it around. Everyone's like, dude, just give up, man. Like, just, you know, someone close the curtains, you know. Like, and she moves her knee, like her leg, and she just goes silent. And then she giggles again. She said, I'm not kidding. I have no pain in my knee. And everyone's quiet. They're all listening. And so I'm like, did you guys see that right now? And I said, tell everyone, you know, what's going on. She, in a big voice, a loud voice, she kind of told everyone, look, seriously, there's no pain in my knee anymore. And I said, now who else needs prayer? Hands were shooting up all over the place. You know, it was amazing. So anyway, one after another, the Lord was doing crazy miracles, healing people. 15 minutes turned into 2.5, 3 hours. They canceled all their classes. These kids were going out, bringing other kids in. We had down the front hundreds of kids now in the high school, hundreds of kids weeping, repenting, getting healed, like crazy creative miracles. Like there was people who weren't born with certain things or haven't been able to do things since birth, healed, and just crazy stuff. Kids were calling their moms and their dads on speaker, all crying, and, oh, Mom, this is amazing. You know, this has happened. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just trying to do, like, my best teenage girl crying voice right here. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And they're calling moms and dads, and we're praying over the phone, and moms and dads are getting healed. People who, you know, who hadn't been able to walk for years, getting out of the armchair at home, walking in the living room. Like, it was bananas. It was just off the charts. But how many of us maybe would have been tempted to give up at that first attempt? See, because faith isn't an attempt. We've got to stop seeing it like this. The just shall live by faith. This is how we live. This is life. This isn't this thing that we switch on or off or hang on, how much faith have I got? We live from a place of abundance. We live from heaven to earth. We live from rest. And we trample darkness. So anyway, that was all to talk about how little time I have tonight. I just took 10 minutes sharing that testimony. Anyway, it's a good story anyway. But you know, before I ever saw anyone healed in public, I saw it in the secret place. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who like to stand on the street corner and pray out loud and to be seen by men. That's the motive. It's the motive of the heart. But you, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And he who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, I love that. Remember I said before about, you know, just some secrets, some keys of how to grow in faith. It sounds really weird to me even talk like that because it's, you know, anyway, you catch my drift. But he says, go into your room and shut the door. Now, Jesus never just says anything haphazardly. Maybe some of my illustrations are a little bit oddball, talking about prawns and buffets and things like that. But whatever he says, because he is truth, he doesn't know truth, he is truth. He is the Word of God. Whatever he says is on purpose, isn't it? So when he says to you, he wants to show you what prayer is. He says, go into your room, your bedroom, and shut the door. And your Father is waiting there for you in the secret place. Now, think about this for a minute. When the Bible teaches, the Word of God teaches us about Jesus and about who we are as the church, it's talked about or it's understood in a way where it says that we are the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. Now, this might kind of gross some people out or maybe right now, or maybe make you squirm in your seat, but it's perfectly natural and it's what God created, okay? So I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, but I want us to understand. We only feel uncomfortable because of a filter of sin or perception of sin that we have for relationships, for marriage and things like that, okay? Now, when a husband and wife come together and the two become one, they're united together in marriage, they go into the room and they shut the door and they're intimate together in the secret place. And something is conceived and it begins to show in public. And very soon something's born. Now, there is no coincidence that Jesus likened prayer to that place. Intimacy with him. Go into your room, shut the door, and in your relationship with him, your union with him, your communion with him, something is implanted in you. Something begins to grow, and it's not before long that people begin to see it. Moses' face shone with the glory of God. Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and he shone. He didn't try to shine. Moses didn't try to shine. He just looked at God, didn't he? And he come down from the mountain looking like him. Byproduct. Byproduct. So before I ever saw anyone healed, any miracles, any kind of crazy stuff, which I'll share a few of those testimonies in a minute, before I saw any of that stuff happen, before I saw it with my eyes, I saw it with my heart. Before I saw it manifest, I already believed it in my heart. Because God was the one who revealed it to me. You see, if man can convince you of something, then man can change your mind or convince you out of it. But if God convinces you of something, nothing and nobody can change your mind. You realize that? When God breathes on you and goes, and you receive revelation of the truth, nothing can snatch that out of you. When you surrender yourself to Him, you open yourself up to Him, and He implants the Word of God, the truth of God, revelation of the kingdom, revelation of who He is, who you are. When He puts that in you, nothing can take it away. Part of the topic tonight that Jace wanted me to speak about or to touch on was faith and believing God's word. Now, I've got like 15 minutes, and I don't know how I'm going to do this, but we're going to do it. Thank you, Lord. We'll get this done. Ha, ha, ha. 30 minutes. Okay, cool. 8:30. All right. I thought it was 20 past. All right. Naomi's giving me like extended time. Yes. So anyway, what was I saying? Where was I, guys? Faith. Faith, believing God's word. Now, this is the cool thing. I love the Bible. It's looking a little bit ratty and tatty now. This is one of my Bibles. This one's like a clean one, so I can read out of it. It's kind of falling apart a little bit there. I love the Bible. But can I say this to you? And this might offend some people, but hear me out. The Bible isn't the Word of God, capital W. Okay? Think about that for a minute. Just think about that. Now, before you stone me, before anyone stones or writes in, sorry, JC, if you're recording this, you're going to have some angry emails come in. I don't know. But listen, in the beginning was the Bible. It wasn't, was it? This thing didn't exist in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we understand the Word of God, and we understand faith in the Word of God, we're talking about the Word of God here, Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus is the truth. So whatever he says was true yesterday, was true 2,000 years ago, it's true today, and it's going to be true in another 2,000 years and then some. So when we can read what was written, what was inspired by the Holy Ghost, what was observed by the ear of men and women of God since the beginning of time, have heard God speak the word of God, they recorded it. Now, some of these things were for a time and a season. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but it's vitally important to understand what kind of covenant you're in. So many problems that we have in the church, in our theology, and the way we misrepresent God is because we do not understand the covenant that we're in. And we'll listen to God through Moses and Elijah when God's not speaking through them anymore. He's speaking through his son, Jesus. And that's totally scriptural. Hebrews chapter 1. In former times, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken to us through his son, who is the express image of his likeness. Express image, I think Jace touched on this last week. It literally means a molded copy, an exact replica, a clone, as you will. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. That's what Jesus said to Philip. So how can you say, show me the Father? There's nothing else to reveal. I've revealed the Father. That's what he's saying. If you've seen me, you've seen all of the Father. So we have to understand that God is speaking to us through Jesus, through his Son, the living Word of God. Now, I'm not going to go into that right now, but I'm saying that to build up to this, to say that it is vitally important. I'm slapping the Word of God now. I'm slapping the Bible. It is vitally important to know what God has said, but it's equally as important to know what he's saying right now. Did you know that? When the devil tempted Jesus and he said, turn this stone into bread, what did the Lord say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that what? Was written? That we have in the Torah? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we could go into the Greek and talk about the logos, the written word, the rhema, the spoken with the inspired word. I don't want to go into that too deep tonight, but I want to say this, is that you cannot live unless you are eating every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You need to know what God is saying to you today in order for you to live tomorrow. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What's he saying to me? I teach my boys, my two sons, Harry and Elijah. Harry's 10 and Elijah's 7. I teach them that when someone is preaching or someone gives a prophetic word, that they listen and honor that as if God himself is speaking. That's what I teach them. Because they go to Kings, they go to chapel, and I tell them, whoever's speaking has gone to God and said, God, speak through me today for these kids. So when they open their mouth, God is speaking. So I could have a little kid prophesy over me, but I receive it as the words of Jesus Christ, the word of God himself. Because if you receive a little one in his name, guess who you've received? My oldest boy, Harry, he's scary prophetic. He's like, from like the moment he was born, he's like, isn't he, bro? He's... Yeah, like, you know, we had this community house and that we were looking at, and we'd pull up and my son said, yeah, no, that's the house. That's the house we're meant to get. I saw that in my dream. And like just crazy stuff. Like we've been to meetings, and before we go, days before we go, the Lord will tell him people's names and what's wrong with them. And I'd be preaching like this, and he'll come up and interrupt me. And He'll be like, Dad, there's someone in here who has this problem in their body, and the person comes out and he prays for them, they get healed, and he goes, sits back down and plays with his iPad. Like, it's just easy. Did you realize that the kingdom of God is easy? If it's not easy, it's not Jesus. If it's not easy, it's not truth. If it's not easy, it's not the kingdom. Unless you are converted and become like little children, you won't enter the kingdom, guys. Your heart will take you where your brain never could. You can't figure it out. If we could figure it out, if we could figure him out, he wouldn't be God, would he? Trying to understand it, trying to work it all out, and then I'll believe. No, you believe and he'll reveal. So when we understand the word of God and we talk about having faith in him, we're not so much talking about words on a piece of paper, if that makes sense. Now, I'm not devaluing the Bible by any means. I love the Bible. I love the word of God. I love reading what the Lord has said. And everything that we need to know is actually found in here. And everything that the Spirit says confirms what's already written. How many of us have sometimes had a new revelation of the kingdom or something, and we've gone back through the word of God, and all of a sudden we see it all through the word, and we're like, oh wow, it was in there all along and I didn't even realize it. Like, you know what I mentioned before about Hebrews chapter 1, God is speaking. In former times he spoke through the prophets, but now he's speaking through his son. If you study it out in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 17, Transfiguration. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but it's what I'd like to right now. But Jesus goes up onto the mountain, and Peter, James, and John are there, and all of a sudden, he's transfigured before them. And his face and his clothes are shining brighter than the sun. And they look and they see Moses and Elijah standing there with him on top of the mountain. That's not a coincidence, Moses and Elijah. And Peter says, Lord, it's so good. I'm so glad that we're here. Let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, I'm not saying this arrogantly, but no one ever taught me this. The Lord revealed this to me. Let us build three tabernacles here. And then a cloud overshadowed them. And God interrupted Peter's great idea and said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. You read it word for word. This is what it says. And the cloud lifted, and Peter looked and saw no one but Jesus only. Moses and Elijah. If God allowed, or Jesus allowed Peter to build a monument to God, Moses, Jesus, and Elijah on the same playing field, on the same plane, then the old covenant would have forever been enshrined at the same level as the new. The law and the prophets were until John, Jesus said. And since that time, the kingdom of heaven has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. I don't know why I'm going there, but I am. So anyway, where were we? Yeah, the word of God. So this is the cool thing, is that we have faith in him because of who he is. It's really as simple as that. It's not about finding certain scriptures in here like it's a horoscope or something and trying to apply it to our life. Sometimes we'll get in a situation and it'll be like grasping for straws and we're trying to like wave a magic wand to fix a situation. If I just say the right thing, if I can just find something in here and just say that. If it's not coming from a place of rest and intimacy, there is no power. If it's not coming from a place of rest and intimacy, a place of faith, then there is no power. That's why so many times you can see where the disciples try to do things. cast out devils, and didn't happen. Just like in the book of Acts, those guys, I forget their names now, I think they were brothers, they tried to cast out a devil. And they said, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, we command you come out. And the devil said, the demon said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but I don't know who the heck you are. And the devil, the man jumped on them and attacked them. So Jesus' name in the written word isn't this magic thing. Does that make sense? So what I'm going to do right now is, on that note, I'm feeling kind of a little bit quiet in here right now. On that note, I want to share some things to you, share some testimonies. And what we're going to do is we'll probably finish up with a little bit of time of prayer. I guess maybe I'll just spend a few minutes now if anyone has any questions. If anyone has any questions, maybe just like one or two questions just for time's sake. So again, I could, you know, there's a lot of stuff we could have talked about, but I haven't just for time's sake. I probably opened a little bit of a can of worms with maybe some of the other things that I talked about as well. Shoot. If anyone does have a question, just put your hand up and I'll do my best with the help of the Holy Ghost to answer it. Any questions? Get in the faith.
Yeah, finding faith, where
you
get
it from. Sure. In terms of like write it from salvation or like
faith to do anything.
Sure, faith to do anything. I would say, yeah, so the question is, where do we get faith from in the first place to do exploits and how do I lay a hold of it? We said there about the Lord, this is the cool thing, is that Jesus is called the Word, and in the beginning God spoke. And when he spoke, things were created. And even all through the New Testament, there's time and time again reference about what we say, life and death's in the power of the tongue, and there's different references. And you'll probably notice some of the scriptures that I quoted to you in that first session, I emphasized some of the word. Jesus said, therefore, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. And he said, whoever speaks to the mountain, and believes the mountain will move, and whatever he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. So there's a reality to the Word of God, the person of God that lives inside of us, the living Word, and there's a reality that ties into what we say and how we speak. And so when the living Word is alive on the inside of us, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life. So even tonight, as I've been speaking to you, the words that I've been speaking by the Holy Spirit has been spirit and life. Okay? So to me, in understanding faith and understanding the activation of faith, I see, without going into great detail, I see it pretty simply. The Bible talks about those who have received like precious faith, those who have received. So the understanding of faith and how we begin, how does this start, where does it come from, it always comes back to receiving. It always comes back to receiving. So we've got to stop thinking about it in terms of getting, but more of it in terms of receiving, if that makes sense. So in terms of faith, how do I get faith? It's the same as saying, how do I get saved? What must I do to be saved? What must I do? You know, in the day of Pentecost, after what happened, the outpouring of the Spirit, Peter preached, and it says that they were cut to the heart, said, men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? And who knows Peter's response? Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. So, in coming into the rest of God, like I said before, it's not something that's compartmentalized. You don't get faith any different than you get salvation. You don't get healing any different than you get salvation. It says there in, where is it? I think I had it written out here. It is in, I'll just have to find this reference real quick. But it says there in, give me 1 second, because I want to give you the reference. We need some like elevator music on right now or something. Okay, Galatians. I was singing Colossians, that's Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? What does that mean? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. What was the climax of his crucifixion? It is finished. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So for me, I don't know if I'm answering this right in the way that you want, but for me, it all comes back to the same thing. If you're believing God for something, if you're contending for something, if you're praying for something, whatever it might be, whatever the situation, it all comes back to the same place. Jesus has done it all. Jesus has it all. And all we need to do is open up and receive. And receive. We don't have to try and get something or do something. We just receive. And when we receive, we come into a place of rest and we enter in to his finished works. Because as we read in Hebrews, for he who's entered into his rest has also himself ceased from his own works. It's not our doing that makes us obtain. It's our receiving, it's our submitting, it's our coming into him and just receiving. It's pretty simple, really. So I'm just going to share a few testimonies now and then we'll pray for a few people and we'll work all this out. It'll all work out, okay? Don't worry. It'll be good. So in terms of my life, in the start of 2009, I had a really deep encounter with the Lord. I grew up in a Christian home. My concept of Christianity was pretty simple. It was Jesus died because God had a beef with sin. And if we believe in him, one day we'll go to a place called heaven, which is way better than earth because earth's so hard, life's so tough. And until then, we've just got to try hard to be good Christians and try to do the right thing and be faithful to local church. Something like that. Does that kind of sound familiar to anyone? That was pretty much it. And so I came to a place where I had spiraled out of control in my life and I was a slave to a whole bunch of stuff. And I hated myself, and basically I didn't want to live anymore. And I cried out to God, and it was like, God, I can't do it. I've tried to do the right thing. I've tried to be a good Christian. I've tried to stop sinning. But no matter how hard I try, I just couldn't do it. So anytime we think about us and about where we missed the mark or how we've got to try and do something, we're always living out of what, so if anyone knows Leif Hetland, what he would, a great illustration where he talks about three chairs, what he would call chair number two. Chair number two, chair number one and chair number two are both people who are saved, but chair number two are people who live from either a place of fear or a place of self-consciousness. And they're reaching up to God for things. They're trying to do things, trying to do things maybe to make God happy or to make God pleased with them, whatever it might be. Self-conscious. And chair number one is someone who has entered into his rest and lives in a place of intimacy and union and communion with him and lives from heaven to earth instead of earth to heaven. So Romans 7, when it talks about, man, I once was that man who I tried to stop sinning and I just couldn't do it, couldn't find it in myself. We've all been there. Maybe some of us feel like we're there right now. I want to tell you something really simple. You can't do it. I can't do it. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves, to fix ourselves, to obtain faith, to see miracles, to work righteousness, to slay giants, whatever it might be. There's nothing that we can do. The sooner we realize that, the better. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, has made us alive together with Christ. I was looking at the cross that was up there during worship and I got really happy because I was looking at my cross. I'm not looking just at Jesus' cross, I'm looking at the place where I died. I died on that cross. I died on that cross, and the person that I am now is a new creation. Old things, everything has passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we have to flip our mindset to trying to get, trying to do, trying to please, self-conscious, because the truth is that we can't be self-conscious and God-conscious at the same time. Doesn't work. But when we're in him and we're living in him, we lose that self-consciousness. That doesn't mean you wake up in the morning and forget to brush your teeth or put clothes on or anything like that. But that self-awareness, that introspection. How many times, just one little example, how many times have we prayed for someone and when we've gone to pray, all of a sudden we've gotten really self-conscious? Someone says, hey, can you pray for me? Or this is going on. And we go to pray and all of a sudden we're thinking, oh man, but I did this yesterday. Or hey, I don't really know where I'm at with God. I've got to go away and pray in tongues for 5 minutes, build myself up. Or I don't really know if I have faith for this. How many times have we been self-conscious in those kind of moments before? See, God wants us to be so free from ourselves that all we see is him. One time I was in Okinawa and I was praying for a man who had a frozen shoulder. It was frozen for like 18 months or something. He couldn't lift it like higher than that. Had a whole lot of pain. Prayed for him once, got him to check it. No change. Prayed for him twice. It was a few times. I don't remember how many times. Maybe it was the second time. And I'm praying for him. And all of a sudden, I look past him, and on the back wall of the church, I see the old rugged cross hanging on the wall. And I just looked at it, and I just remembered, Jesus, it is finished. As surely as I see that cross, you've done this, Lord. And I'm not going to pray from a place of striving or trying to make something happen or try to say the right words, try and quote the right scripture. I'm going to rest in your finished works. John chapter 3, even as the Son of Man was lifted up in the wilderness, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when he's lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. Now that is the gospel right there. And I won't go into that in detail, except for when that happened in Numbers, people got bit by snakes because of their sin and they were dying. And the remedy was to look. The Bible says, Numbers said that as they looked and saw this bronze serpent on this tree, and they saw God has cursed the thing that's cursed me, as they looked, they were healed. That's all they had to do, guys, is look. Think about that. This is way more simple and way more easy than we've ever given credit for. That's why he said, unless you become as little children. This isn't complicated. As they looked, they were healed. So what's the message? As we look at Jesus and we've seen what he's done for us, we receive what he's done. We receive the benefits of that. It takes us out of that place of trying to have faith and trying to make things happen. Miracles will happen automatically when you live in that place. So testimonies. Oh my gosh, I'm 3 minutes over. Can I steal 2 more minutes? Is that okay? Testimonies. Yeah, so I had that encounter with the Lord, and I literally, God spoke to me in the car coming home from Brisbane, and he showed me that if I want to know what the truth is about God, about who he is, about who I'm created to be, I can only find it in one place, and that's in Jesus. Jesus Christ, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life is what he spoke to me. And I devoured the Gospels as if I'd never heard them before. I threw everything out that I'd learned. Sounds crazy. I don't know how I did it. Supernatural, kind of just cleared out the cupboard and threw it all in the trash. And then I read the Gospels, and whatever Jesus said, I just read it as if he was speaking to me. And I began to live that way and act on it. And I started seeing miracles happen. I started seeing crazy things happen. And in the last 9 years, I've seen God do some pretty amazing things. Has it always been smooth sailing? No, not at all. Have I been in the storm? You betcha. Have I walked through the fire? But you know what? I've seen Jesus time and time and time and time again do stuff that blows my mind. Crazy miracles. Cool stuff. Lots of fun stuff. Putting my shadow on people without saying a word and seeing the Lord heal them. Walking past people and people begin to cry and weep because of the presence of God on your life. People in my workplace call me into their office, get me to shut the door, and then just begin to cry and say things like, I don't know what it is, but every time I'm around you, I just feel so loved, and they're crying and I don't even know why. One time I had a man, he was a spiritualist, did incantations and things like that that I work with. He said to me at a work Christmas party, he said, you know, Josh, I would never step foot inside a church. But having you work here, it's like having church come to me. Crazy testimonies, crazy things. Like, I might have shared this recently as well. I was like, Lord, what's some cool testimonies I can share? It's so funny. I don't say this arrogantly at all, but I've seen the Lord do lots of things, and sometimes you forget it. I don't know, it sounds really weird. Maybe it sounds blasphemous to some people. I've seen the Lord do so many miracles, a lot of things I forget because it's just passing by, praying for people and shops and stores and things like that, you know. But anyway, this one time I was at my workplace and I was out in the garden, and I was just talking to the Lord in my lunch break, and there was a tree that had died, and I touched the tree. And I'm just talking to the Lord and just spend time with Jesus in my lunch break. Touched the tree and I left. And what I didn't know is that a lady who worked in my in the office, her desk looked out over that tree. And anyway, I was away for a few days and I came back and everyone was talking in the office. Oh, Josh, we heard about you and the tree. That's amazing. And I'm like, what are you talking? I didn't even know what they're talking about. And so I went and talked to this lady, and she was like, she said, Josh, I need to go to church. You know, tell me which church to go to. I'm like, what do you mean? What's going on? She said, I saw you that day praying for the tree. And I'm thinking, oh, the tree. And she said, that tree that was dead, she said, ever since you touched that tree, it's come back to life. Completely dead and crispy. It came back to life like within a day. And everyone in the office saw it. I wasn't trying to do anything. I wasn't trying to make anything happen. I've been in some meetings when I've seen God do crazy things, like praying for people and people getting covered in gold dust and feathers appearing. Some of that stuff will stretch some people. Sorry if it does, but you know what? God does what he pleases. You know what I mean? I'm not going to try and work him out. He's God. He doesn't live in this box called our brain. Have you realized that? God can do whatever he wants. The writers of Shrek thought they're onto something really cool and really new when they wrote into the script that a donkey was talking. God made a donkey talk like 5,000 years ago, guys. Imagine if I came to you and said, yeah, I was out in the car park today and this dog walked up to me and started talking to me and it was the Lord. You'd think that I was crazy, but it was actually happening in the Bible. God's done some pretty wild things in terms of what we think is wild. That's the problem, though. God doesn't live in here. He lives outside of space and time. Do you realize that? He lives outside of it. And he goes bloop, bloop, bloop at different points in time. You know, he does things. He doesn't live in this place. And so anyway, yeah, just cool stuff. I should probably wrap up right now because I've gone about 8 minutes over. But I just want to share a few different testimonies with you. And hopefully I've, you know, by the Holy Ghost have helped to clarify some things about faith, about this Christian life, the simplicity of the gospel, the reality of the rest, the finished work of God, and entering into and living from a place of rest instead of restlessness, which so many of us live in. And hopefully just sharing a few testimonies has kind of stirred you up to think, you know, wow, man, I want to see God move in my life in that capacity in those different ways. But I don't know. I should probably finish there. I'm thinking of a few other testimonies, but I just kind of... But I can share some things another time. But is this all right? Is this kind of helping people? Yeah, it's okay? Cool. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. I'll hand over to you, Jason.
Do whatever I want. All right. I would stay here all night. There's a few eyes bouncing. So we're going to wrap up for tonight. If there is anyone at all and you need prayer for anything, we'll stick around for 10 minutes or so, get Jim to pop on a little bit of music. But apart from that, we're going to be cleaning up and stuff like that. We'll shut down for tonight. But next week, make sure you're here at 5 to 6. On time, ready to rock and roll. 5:45. There you go, 5:45. The boss has spoken. It's 5:45. You need to sign in, get your seat, and be ready to roll. We have Pastor Kyle Self. He's going to be coming and teaching. He got sent here from Creflo Dollar, if you've heard of him. And so he's got an incredible... He had an evangelistic ministry over in America, seen incredible revival. So he's here, not as world changers pastor, just a friend. And so he's going to teach on righteousness and relationship with God. So don't miss out. Make sure you're here, and we'll see you back next Wednesday, 5:45. Are we all good with that? Awesome. Cool. Let's just give Josh another round of applause and give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Awesome. Go well. Be safe. Let the Lord shine upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you need prayer for anything, make sure you come forward.